Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson.
What's going on, T?
What is going on, big bro? You good?
Yeah, there's a lot of action outside. Well, no, there's a lot of action outside, so I'm hoping it's not picking up.
Oh, no. So far, it's quite quiet, so you're good.
Yeah, I'm always comfortable.
We are live right now on Facebook and YouTube, of course. But later this, within an hour or two, it's going to be uploaded as a podcast. So if you're catching this on a rewatch, I just want you all to know that you can always listen to our podcast. It's the same show without the visual component. But yes, go ahead and either follow, like, or subscribe, whether you're watching this on YouTube, Facebook, or on the podcast. And if you are enjoying it, please make sure to leave a positive response, a thumbs up, even a comment. It helps others that may be looking for our content find it. Now, one thing I do want to say before we get going is that we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we have learned from it. And we like to share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you may be going through. Saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please do not just rely on us. Okay, so Taj Jackson, I've lost count on how many shows this is, but I guess every now and then we should just talk about what the show is, and I'd love to take that moment to just do that. This is our Power of Love show where we really go on once a week on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. live Pacific Standard Time with different guests, with wonderful people all over the grief world. Just all over the world, really, who like to share what they've learned in life. And the whole purpose of the show is to help you all and to help us get through difficult times. So it's an inspirational show. It's a hopeful show. And I just feel every now and then it's important to re-describe what the show is. Anything you want to add, Taj?
No, I mean, I definitely going back and listening to the shows, like we've had some amazing guests. So don't feel like if you didn't hear some shows in the past that they're not topical or anything like that. There's some amazing guests that you're going to miss out on. So
great point. Great. All right. So Taj, before we get going, we have a special guest joining us today. But before we get going with that portion of the show, we always talk about, or we tend to talk about quickly, what's been up in our world in the last week. Anything exciting in your world?
Exciting. No, I, got my kids were sick for a little while. So that was kind of, not an exciting thing, but
in the gender reveal.
Oh yeah. Was that this week? I don't know what we said. Was that this week?
Yes. That's exciting. Taj is having.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, child. I did it so long ago. So that's why I'm saying but the gender reveal. Yes. We, revealed the gender of our, new kid that's coming,
third child.
So three's a charm. So
Taj, Taj, you have two brothers, so there's three of us, and now you're having three girls.
Yes, to balance it out. Yeah, how does that work?
Have you thought about doing a singing group like Destiny's Child? Be honest.
Oh, 100%. I thought about that with two girls. three just solidified it. Yeah,
that's fun.
It's cool. And then on a less happier note, one of my friends that like I had been really getting to know and had been a big supporter of like the Halloween party that we went to, she passed recently. Lisa Breezy. She was the one that was the always dressed in Peter Pan, TJ, if you remember from the Halloween party.
I do.
She was always lost a battle in that way, but she was always in good spirits and stuff. And I always kept in contact with her, but it's just hard when you keep in contact with someone and they're fighting and fighting and fighting. And, you know, they're trying to keep their optimistic, being optimistic and the ups and downs in that way. But yeah, So that was hard. I her mom contacted me and let me know. So, you know, that's, and a lot of people will know her on Facebook in that way, or would have known her on Facebook because she journeyed, or she chronicled her journey in that.
Wow. Well,
so there's the good and the bad. That's one of the things. Yeah. And that's still doing it. But yeah, as you always say, in us in general, even though we've done these shows and have a lot of tools and stuff like that, it still hits you in that way. She was just such a great spirit. So that's all I can say right now.
Well, sending her family all the love, condolences, and light possible from us and the whole entire foundation and our community. It's never easy to lose someone.
No, it's not.
Never easy. For me, Taj, I've been traveling a lot. You know, I was in Nashville and I was only a couple minutes away from where the shooting took place, which, you know, every day I drive past it and returning back to my friend's house where I like to stay when I'm in Nashville, I would see it, you know, and
wow,
that's a whole nother thing. And that's it's just an incredibly sad situation. But been doing a lot of traveling, and I don't know if you've ever met him, Taj, but one of Royal's friends in our hometown who I've coached got called up to the big leagues, and he had his first start as a major league baseball player for the Brewers, and he hit a grand
slam. Oh, you didn't tell me this part. No.
Yeah. He hit a grand slam on their opening day. So he's doing incredibly well. So,
you think you have some kind of just a little bit of, like, cause you coached him. Do you feel a little, responsibility, just a little, a lot.
No, I'm just playing.
Because every coach is important to it.
That is true.
Like, I remember my coaches and stuff like that, and I learned lessons from them. So I'm not saying that but you had a sense of pride. I know that.
Yeah, yeah. You know what it is, Tosh? He was always an incredible athlete and a good kid. But he from the start, baseball was his main sport. And I coached a basketball team that was kind of like an off-season type of team, where you're still playing activities, you're still competing, but it's not your primary sport. I mean, Royals was on that team, of course, but his primary sport was soccer. So I wanted, you know, all these kids want to play multiple sports, but a lot of times today you have to focus on one sport. So I wanted to create a team where if you had to miss a game, go do your thing, you know, go play on that main sport. And with that said, my mentality was, these kids compete all the time in their main sport. I want them to have fun, but also know that, you know, just instill life lessons about work ethic and being good people. And that was the main purpose of my team. Not necessarily, you know, you have to win at all costs, just to be good people. And I can proudly say I'm really proud of him, because he's got a good head on his shoulder, and he's just, you know, so it does feel good though. It does feel good just to watch him live out his dream and his family get to enjoy it. It feels amazing, you know. Wow. So they're wonderful people. So all right, I think that's Taj. I think we can go into our show if you're cool with that.
Yep.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode of the Power of Love Show, we welcome special guest Cara Belvin. Cara is a social entrepreneur known for her role as founder and CEO of Empower Her. It's a nonprofit organization for children and young adults who have experienced the loss of a parent. Cara is an energetic and visionary leader and has expanded Empower Her from a local grassroots movement to an international nonprofit. Inspired by the loss of her own mother, Kit, at age 9, Cara formed Empower Her in 2013 to support and connect girls and young women who've experienced the loss of their mothers. Today, the organization serves boys, girls, and non-binary youth in a non-therapeutic, community-based, volunteer-driven model with one mission and two programs, events and one-on-one mentorship. All programs are free of charge to the family and strive to help teach the girls that loss is survivable. Cara holds a Bachelor of Science degree in psychology from the University of Connecticut and a Master's of Science degree in psychology from Texas A&M University. Cara began her career as a school psychologist working with children with disabilities and transitioned her career into nonprofit management and philanthropy. Philanthropy. I always mess up that word. I apologize.
You do kind of always. Yeah.
I can't help it. Cara frequently presents on issues surrounding adversity, grief and loss, women's empowerment, and social entrepreneurship. As the founder of the only nonprofit in the world dedicated to mentoring children who have experienced the loss of a parent, Cara's efforts have been featured on The Today Show, CNN, PBS NewsHour with Judy Woodruff, and more. Cara is also the lead producer of HBO's The Conversation, Stories That Matter. Here today to share a bit about her personal story and her inspiring work, please welcome Cara Belvin to the Power of Love show. There she is. How are you, Cara?
Hi. That was awful.
You have accomplished a lot and done a lot.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for saying that.
You have.
We always admire people that work hard. That's why TJ's
like it's a lot of work.
We know the work. So, yeah.
To go from lead producing on TV shows and doing, you know, what you're doing with Empower Her is very commendable. And yes. So right off the bat, on behalf of my brother and our foundation, thank you for providing, you know, what you do for people who need it. So let me just start here. We have a lot in common in terms of losing our moms, of course, during our adolescence and youth. And also it being in the 90s, where things were a bit different, of course. So we often discuss our own experiences and the resources or the lack of resources that were available for grievers during our era. Can you tell us a bit about what your experience was like navigating the loss of your beloved mother during that time?
Yeah, I agree with you. Actually, my mother died in 1986. So one of my childhood heroes, her name is Hope Edelman, and she wrote this great book called Motherless Daughters. And it was one of the only books on the shelf and a book that changed my life. But she said grieving in the 80s or 90s was the dark ages of grief. And I don't pretend to be a grief expert. I never talked about my mother, to be honest. So it's funny that I'm talking openly with you about my mom and admire the fact that you two talk so openly about, you know, your beautiful mom, Dee Dee. And I wish I had that. I wish my brother and I actually had that. But when my mom died, I was 9 years old and she died of breast cancer. And I was growing up in Connecticut and was really fortunate that I had, like you, I had this army of family and friends around to, you know, keep showing up for me. And I think that's what saved me, really. I never felt this sense of abandonment. I felt smothered in love, really. And I had this really loving dad and really overprotective big brother. And my mom's family really just rallied and just kept showing up. And that's, I think, you know, my mother was sick for 2 years and knew she was dying. And I think she asked her family to do that. And I think they did, you know, all she asked and more, which is a lot. It's a lot, you know, for your family to do that because they're also grieving and watching us grieve is an unbearable experience, really. So
it means a lot, though, you know, for us. You know, I always speak on this because I didn't feel there was that many resources. It was a book for me that made a big difference reading the book. But if I wasn't a big reader, my situation could be a lot different. And I feel incredibly blessed to have had the family and friends that I had to help me get through it. But my heart breaks for all those people out there who aren't into reading and don't have the family and support. It could have been a lot different for me. So, and it seems like that's the same for you.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, the reason I started Empower Her I started Empower Her about 8 or 9 years ago. And it was, again, after 20 years of not talking about my mom, it's not like I was comfortable kind of moving into this space, but I recognized that something hadn't really changed. I think since we lost our mom, there are amazing nonprofits doing awesome work in children's bereavement around the country. But what I was really desperate for was to meet an adult who had survived the loss of her mom. I never knew someone, like I didn't have a teacher to pull me aside and say like, you know, I lost my mom when I was your age, or so I never really knew that loss was survivable. I didn't see a way out of it. You know, that pain in the beginning is so intense. And so when I started Empower Her, it was because I thought, how could we make something more accessible to more kids? You're right, like a book could change your life, but if you didn't stumble upon that book, you know, and if you didn't have a lot of family coming up, you know, coming around and showing up for you, then you might spend years really feeling like you're the only kid in the world whose mom died. And that's not true. Yeah. There's a community and there's other people in your life who can, you know, remind you you're not alone in your grief, which is, of course, the whole point of our podcast. And
yeah. Did the lack of resources kind of, especially for children, did that motivate you to create something that would fill this gap of, you know, for the young grievers like you and me and my brother?
Yeah.
And if so, obviously it's, I assume Empower Her was the main drive for that.
Yeah. And so I should say, honestly, there are tons of great supports, not enough, but there still are great supports around the country. You know, if you've lost a special person in your life, a parent or a grandparent or a sibling, and you can gain access to maybe a support group or a summer bereavement camp, those do exist. My idea was a little bit different. I was actually trying to create something that was non-therapeutic. So a lot of those are therapeutic based. And while I'm a huge proponent of therapy and started my career actually as a psychologist, I just kind of, I had this nagging idea to bring teenage girls away on Mother's Day, actually. So there were a lot of bereavement camps in the summertime. And my idea was that Mother's Day was so isolating. It was almost like, and I don't know if you would agree, the 2 months leading up to the day were like almost worse than Mother's Day itself. It was like kind of a relief when Mother's Day came and went. But the 2 months leading up, that is a reminder that you are so different than your friends and so different than your peers, and you're just missing her and you can't celebrate her on Mother's Day. So my big bright idea was, well, I'll just take teenage girls away every Mother's Day and we'll like check into a hotel in Boston, because that's where I am. I'm in Boston now. And we, you know, went international with this idea because I didn't realize at the time there really wasn't someone else doing it like this on Mother's Day. And then additionally, I wanted to start a mentor program. So I personally really believe in mentorship. I've had a ton of mentors, and I probably, like you, your mentors in the beginning come in the form of like your aunts and uncles and your grandma and your grandpa and these men and women that kind of show you, like, you know, that there's still this beautiful life at your fingertips. Just, you know, there's loss and that's part of the human experience, but there's still this beautiful life. And I think now that I'm a mom myself, my kids are 15 and 12 years old. And I know, God forbid, if anything were to happen to me, I need to know my kids would be okay. Every mother, you know, arguably every mother would say, you just need to know that your children would be okay. And this was in some ways my way of doing that, even though I don't know the mothers, you know, I never met them. I get to, you know their beautiful daughters. And, but in some ways I thought I would do this just as much for a mom who left this earth too soon as I would for a kid, you know, who's going to now live without her.
Yeah. And I have a side question, if that's okay, that just entered my mind. You being a mother, I mean, I would assume it's a bit different for us compared to you, since we are boys and you are, you know, you were a daughter who's now a mother. Does it penetrate how you mother or what you think about as a mother, considering you lost your mother at a young age? and then what I'm really trying to figure out is there a difference in your parenting, you would think, compared to if it never happened to you?
The simple answer is yes. It's a big, fat, obvious yes. Like, if you're someone who's lost a parent at a young age, when you become a parent, it's another sort of milestone moment. It's another like moment of like, there's like a wave of grief that will come over. And all these young girls enrolled at Empower Her asked me that, you know, what's it like to have a baby without your mom there to help you? Like, stereotypically, we know that if we have a baby, we need our moms to come in and take care of us so that we could take care of this baby. So aside from all the obvious, you know, it's like when you become a mom, you're driving like 10 and 2. Like, you don't want anything to happen to you selfishly. You think, oh my God, like I can't bear the thought of my children grieving me, because the three of us know what that pain is like. You know, it's a like bring you to your knees kind of pain. And why would any parent ever wish that their kids were in that kind of pain?
I mean
just very practically speaking, it made me a nervous parent in the beginning, that, you know, there was always like, there was bad around every corner. Like, if my son got a fever, I, you know, was way down the diagnosis of something terrible, because my mother died when I was 9, and that's you know, that's so out of sequence that we were all young when that happens. And you get older and you meet other people when your world opens up and you realize no one's immune, you know, everyone will experience some kind of painful loss. But ours was so young.
I think that's important to share, you know, because there's a reasoning for why we are sometimes anxious or worrisome. And I also think for those who may have experienced a loss recently, for you to know that it's not over within the first year or 2 years. It can come back in 10, 15 years. And I assume this is a similar thing for you, Kara, but for me, and I assume for you too, Taj, I can get sad thinking about how my kids lost out on an incredible grandmother.
Yes.
You know, and that's a whole dynamic that when I was going through losing her as a teen, it didn't even enter my mind, you know, and I'm just thinking of it as losing my mother. But 15, 20, 30 years later, it's going to be, and 40 years later, it's going to be about how my kids lost out, in addition to me losing my mom. It's going to be about how my kids lost out on a grandmother. And sometimes we underestimate the role a grandparent can have, but it's, for me, it's been crucial. For Taj and I, our grandmother, Catherine, has been incredible and unbelievably important in my life. And for my kids to not have that kind of, to be missing one of those rocks is tough for me to deal with, you know?
Well, I don't think there's anything different between us. Like, just because I'm a daughter and you're a son. Here's the part that's so sad. It's like when you're younger, and I think you're so, you know, maybe insular, like you're not selfish, but you're thinking about like your loss, like your mom died, and like you missed out on that. And as you get older, and when I had children, I thought, oh my God, my mom missed this. Like, she would have loved this. She would have loved your grandmother. And my kids really missed out on that. Yeah. I named my son was born first, and his name is Murphy. My mother's name was Kit Murphy. That was her maiden name. And boy or girl, we were going to name, you know, our child Murphy. And he's such a Murph, and it's so perfect. It's like,
that's beautiful.
You know, and he's got such a personality, and she had such a personality. But you realize as you get older, it was never about a 2 year, you know, period. And unfortunately, a lot of us want kids to like move on after 2 years. And I think out of love, because all the adults, you know, the aunts and uncles and grandma and grandpa, they want the kid to be okay and move on. And it's hard to watch this child grieve, but it's not a 2 year thing. It's a lifelong loss. And so every cheesy cliche about like the waves of grief coming back when I had children, the wave came back, I wanted my mom to have that experience. And I wanted my kids to have her, but I wanted her to have that experience. And that just made me sad.
So true. Okay. So another question, this time back on Empower Her. How did Empower Her grow from a local grassroots movement to an international nonprofit? And did you ever think or ever dream your vision for this passion project would take off like it did?
No. So the funny thing is, and I'm sure, again, like you, which is why I love these conversations. I just think they're so relatable, even though our stories are so different, obviously. But I never fantasized about starting a nonprofit in my mom's memory. I really, you know, I felt like I was always like living her legacy and making her proud. I didn't feel this like pressure to do that. I started Empower Her because I really thought there was something that I could do for a girl like me. And so that's pretty bold or arrogant to even say that, but then you have to raise money and then you have to like be good at managing a business. I mean, it's just like managing a business. And so I had the idea for Empower Her and it nagged at me for about a year. I didn't do anything. And so when I decided to do something, it was funny. It was like one night, my husband and I, Shane, we put our kids to bed. And I said to him, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to start a nonprofit. I'm going to call it Empower Her. It's going to be super simple. We're just going to do this one thing. We'll like take teenage girls away every Mother's Day. It'll be free of charge. I can raise a little bit of money at a cocktail party. And it exploded from there because it hit a nerve in the community. And I realized, I think the nerve it was hitting was this like grief and loss. I think for a long time in this country, we didn't know what to do about grief and loss. There's out of love and protection. We didn't want to say or do the wrong thing. And then I realized, oh my God, I think growing up, while well-intended, I think a lot of people didn't talk to me about my mom. Like I was made of glass, like I'd shatter if they touched me. Like if they talked to me about my mom, I'd fall apart. And I just thought, like, I heard the whispers behind my back anyways, and that was worse. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be open and honest about this. I'm going to say there needs to be community for kids who lose a parent. We don't think kids are at risk when you lose a parent, but I think we are. I think if we don't create a space where kids are comfortable talking about it, if they're afraid they're going to just like suck the air out of the room, then we're just going to keep perpetuating this thing. So I never envisioned it would go international. I did have a vision it would serve boys though. And that's what I'm very proud to say we're serving boys now. And because, you know, my narrative was never that boys who lose a parent, lose a mom or lose their dad should just pick themselves up by their bootstraps and move on. That was, I felt this immense guilt over the years that I was perhaps perpetuating that stereotype. And that wasn't it. And it wasn't it for my brother. And it wasn't it for any boy that I know. I was hopeful we would expand to become more gender inclusive and serve boys. And international, I set out for the United Kingdom expansion and we opened in London because a father really championed the cause. So everything that I do at Empower Her, I don't do it alone. I always say like, I had the idea, like I thought it was a pretty good idea, but I don't do this alone. We have thousands of volunteers around the country that carry out this good work. It's still a very polished grassroots effort. But yeah, fundraising never gets easier. Running an organization is very hard. Nonprofits have all the same problems and challenges as a for-profit business. I think not a lot of people really know how nonprofits are run and like it's all grind.
Can you tell us what you do or how it all works? Your events, the one-on-one mentorship, all that stuff. Can you kind of just tell us what you guys do?
Yeah. So when I started Empower Her, it was 2014. And again, it was just to bring teenage girls away on Mother's Day in like a non-therapeutic way. Like everyday women should be able to talk about this with this girl, not a trained professional, was one of the things that I was thinking. And I wanted to give girls opportunities to meet other girls whose moms died here in Massachusetts who lived maybe an hour away from each other. And my experience was that, I mean, I, for 10 years after my mother died, I never met another girl whose mom died. And it was like living on planet Mars. I felt very isolated in that. Yeah. So that was my goal. And I thought events could do it. And the events would, of course, be free of charge, but they'd be community-based so that father wouldn't have to drive the child to my office. And that's one of the barriers to services, in my opinion. So we had beach parties and cooking classes and actors workshops and journaling. And it was just it was kind of like wrapped up in a bow. You know, it was just an opportunity to get girls in a room, look around the room and realize you're not alone in your grief. There, we all look different and talk different. And we lost our moms in a very different way. And none of that matters. We can relate on this like visceral thing. And so we were doing events for the first few years. And then I started a mentor program. And I essentially like copied Big Brothers Big Sisters with permission, because I loved and admired that mentor model. Like I said, mentorship will change your life. If you can have, you know, an adult shows up for you like that and shows they care. In my mind, I wanted that mentor to have experienced loss. And the goal of that mentor match would be to show, you know, loss is survivable. So, you know, a young boy to meet either of you is life-changing, because in his mind, he doesn't know you can grow up with this. Like, he can't see past high school. And so my goal was just introduce a boy whose mom died to a man who survived it and learned, I mean, all of the, again, cheesy cliches of like surviving and thriving, but there's beauty in grief, and kids have a hard time, I think, seeing that, but we know it. So that's what Empower Her does today. Empower Her is free of charge. We're active in 10 cities in this country, and in the United Kingdom, we're active in London, and we serve boys and girls and non-binary youth who are up through age 24 years old. And they're invited to these events that are community-based and volunteer-driven and non-therapeutic. And then they're offered an opportunity to be matched with a mentor. And our mentors are 25 years old and older who have experienced the loss of a mom or dad at any age and any type of loss.
I think what you're doing is great. It's so important and so beneficial. You know, I think that's 100% right, because kids need to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel and they can survive it, you know. And I think what better way can it be done than showing someone who's actually done it? So I think that's fantastic. Sarah says, this was earlier, she said, excited to hear from Kara. I followed Empower Her. And she also has a question. She wants to know, were you able to work full time as a therapist while starting your nonprofit?
No. That's when you quit your day job, actually, when you're really serious about your work as a nonprofit founder. It gets kind of hairy in the beginning. So I actually started my career as a school psychologist, and then I was not a psychologist when I started Empower Her. In fact, I ended up transitioning my career to philanthropy and fundraising. So my mother died of breast cancer, and I started to do a lot of fundraising work and nonprofit management work for Susan G. Komen. That was my way of really kind of paying tribute to my mom. And so I was a nonprofit consultant when I had the idea for Empower Her, and I had two little kids and was married and was like, had no time to run a nonprofit in my spare time, but I very naively thought I could. So I started this nonprofit. Like I told my husband that night, I said, it's going to be so simple. I'll just do this, you know, nights and weekends. And then media started to cover the story, and enrollment started to really increase. Girls were finding out about Empower Her. Their aunt or grandmother or their dad, of course, was finding out, and they lived far away from me. And I refused to say no. So I just kept building capacity. And, you know, someone really smart on my board of directors said to me, you have to make a choice right now. You could either get off this train or just lay the tracks faster. So in laying tracks faster, I quit my job. My husband and I were all in for about 5 years. The first 5 years, I just didn't take a paycheck. And that's part of, you know, unfortunately, that is part of the nonprofit founder's story is such conviction. You don't have just passion. I mean, a lot of us have passion for volunteerism, but I had more conviction for this thing than anything I had ever done. And so I wanted to see it through. So,
right.
That's wonderful. And what I could relate it to us is we knew we wanted to do something in honor of our mother at some point. It wasn't until, 2015, Taj kind of took the leadership role and just made it happen. And, there's been a lot of benefits even for us since we've started, the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation. It's helped us grieve and learn and understand more. And there's nothing like helping others. It's a very healing thing to do. Mm-hmm. So for anyone out there who is contemplating doing something like Kara does with Empower Her or with what we do here with the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, I would suggest it. It is a lot of work. It's more work than you may think, but it's also way more fulfilling and empowering than what we can think. So I think that's wonderful. Todd, was there something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I think you also, Kara, you said that basically with your brother that you kind of wish that you talked more about the grieving stuff. We didn't talk about it at all. So I want you to feel normal in that way. It's only through this show that we actually learned to talk about grieving with my brothers and stuff like that. And that's why this show has been very therapeutic to us, because I've learned so much through my brothers of how they've grieved about my mom. But it was just a subject that was not talked about in that way.
And isn't it wild? Like the experience, I'm not saying good, bad, right, or wrong, but why is that? Because it's in talking about it and then it's in service to others that there's a lot of healing. But why? I still think maybe one of the reasons we don't is because it's that painful. Yeah. It's not just uncomfortable, but it's so painful.
It's painful.
You know, it is. It's the most deeply personal thing that ever happened to me. So if I have to talk about her or her death or my afterlife, it was like a before and an after. Like there was like this little girl who lived on this cute little street in this cute little house. And then her mom died. And that was like, that wasn't me anymore. And
reality was different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to talk about it. So it's brave. And I think it's one of the most courageous things that we do.
Kara, where do you see Empower Her in the next few years?
Oh, I don't see any of it getting much easier, to be honest. It's like, I've talked to so many great founders of other nonprofits who have said it's always going to be hard, to raise money, and it's always going to be hard to evaluate your programs and recruit board members and figure out how to expand. So in the next few years, I hope that there's I hope that the world or even the society here in America continues on this path that I've seen. Maybe it's COVID, maybe it's something else, but continues on this path of, I think, being much more open and honest about grief and loss. And therefore, it will make the work of an organization like Empower Her a little bit easier. And of course, I want to continue on this trajectory of expansion to additional cities in this country. I mentioned we're really only active in like 10 cities. And then our first international expansion was in the United Kingdom because the laws are very similar too. It was like, I think that the idea for Empower Her is something very scalable and can go anywhere. It's really a matter of funding. It's sad that a lot of us nonprofit founders can say that, but it really is. It's I think we have a good idea and it will grow and scale, but it will continue to take an immense push.
How can potential mentors and mentees get in touch with you to learn more about what you're doing?
So we're interested in talking with anyone over the age of 25 years old who has experienced loss, the loss of a mother or father at any age. So it doesn't necessarily mean childhood loss. Mm-hmm. And they simply fill out a mentor inquiry form on our website. And then that really starts the process. And our mentors are, you know, thoroughly screened, and the process is exactly as you would imagine Big Brothers Big Sisters process is, in terms of screening and matching and monitoring. But it's a really supportive and just loving community that we've created and really proud of. So we're looking for mentors. We're looking for additional donors around the country, men and women who, you know, have passion for the cause, and volunteers to help carry out all aspects of our mission. So you can go to empoweringher.org. Our name will change, of course. It has not yet, but it will change very soon as we expand to, you know, boys and non-binary youth who've lost a mom or dad. And so all the information is there on our website, empoweringher.org.
Okay. empoweringher.org. That is for anyone who's listening on the podcast. Empoweringher.org. Okay, so Kara Taj, before I get to this final part, is there anything else you wanted to ask Kara or anything I may have missed?
No, obviously, just the idea of mentoring in general, it's such an important thing in that way. And as you said, when you're a kid and you've lost, quote unquote, your role model or mentor, having someone swoop in and be that person, I think just a brilliant idea in general that you came up with, because they do need to see the future of, can I survive this? You know, this person has, and so there is hope, because hope is what is really what I think sustains everything is that hope that it will get better. And so I just commend you for what you're doing in that way. And I'm so happy that it's expanding, and I know it's more work for you because every time it expands, but it's also, I'm sure, fulfilling to see how many people you've touched and you've helped in that way.
Thank you.
So Kara, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
So my email address is right there on our website. I read every email that comes in the door. Okay. So email's the best way, Kara@empoweringher.org. No matter what city you live in.
And you have YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. So at the very least, go follow Kara and what she's doing at the below handles. And then Kara, before we say our goodbyes and let you go for the day, what Taj and I like to do on the Power of Love show is give all of our guests the final word, so to say, to say anything you want to say. It doesn't have to be on topic. It could be about your favorite meal to eat. It could be your favorite place to go visit. It could be your favorite cartoon character. It doesn't matter. We just want to give you an opportunity to talk about anything you want to talk about. It could be also on topic, so I don't want to not that option. So anything you want. And I gave you a warning before we started.
No, you did. No. No excuse. Well, as soon as you said, one of the things that you suggested was your favorite quote. And so this is probably an easy out, but right behind me is my favorite quote. And it's, I don't even know where this originated, but I love it. It's called the Compassion Tent. And it's funny because I couldn't quite articulate it when I was starting Empower Her, but it was something that it was like, this is what I felt in my bones, was like in the compassion tent, there's enough room for us to say, like, I see you and I hear you. And I think that was all kids really wanted, was like to be heard and seen. And so in the compassion tent, you know, we look at each other and say, I hear you, I see you, see, we're in this together. And what I loved about it was, you know, my mother died of breast cancer. And that was hard. And people in grief say kind of stupid things in grief, right? Like, well, like, oh, it must have been easier for you, Kara, because you were so young, you probably don't remember her. And I said, no, that's not accurate at all. I remember everything about her. And, or there were young girls who had experienced a loss, of their mom to suicide or substance abuse. And they felt different than me. And I just wanted to like scream it from the rooftops. Like, we're all in this together. Like, this is what it means to be a community, is there's no judgment. There's no, I don't judge anybody how they grieve their loved one. And why isn't it just enough for us to just sit in a room together and just say, like, I see you, that's hard. How did you get through that? Like, people want an acknowledgement. And so I don't know. I took the easy way out.
No, it's great.
No, that is, yeah. It's great. Great.
But I could tell you my favorite foods and my
favorite No, you are completely fine. There's some comments that are related to today's show I want to just share. Carol says, my cousin lost his wife to breast cancer in 1997, leaving a six-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. Jennifer adds that 1980s and 90s was so limited in grief for kids and teens, not many outlets. I lost friends my age in seventh grade and 12th grade and was so confused not understanding grief. Mm-hmm. Sarah adds, referring to a comment you made, about seeing terminal sickness early on can cause so much anxiety. I've experienced that too. The thought that my future kids won't know my parents does hurt. And then another one is from Sarah, who says that the biggest fear for grieving people and for those struggling with mental illness tends to be that they're a burden to others. Communities like these break through that thought with love. And I think that's very important.
That's very
to remind people that love is the answer. And then we have Erica, who keeps it nice and short, who says, hi, Kara, love, empower her. So
Erica, love what you're doing. Valuable ambassadors. They're in New York. The only reason, you know, why we're now expanding to New York, and women like Erica just bravely standing up and talking about this hard thing. So,
well, that's great.
We are all lucky to have you, Erica, and all those who are trying to make the world a better place. On behalf of my brother and our entire board, we want to thank you for being with us today and wishing you the best. Just know you are not a stranger to us. When you rebrand or relaunch, feel free to come back and share the new updated version of what you're doing. And that's it. Just wanted to send again a big thank you to contributing to making the world a better place. Thank you so much, Kara.
Thank you. I so admire what you're doing, and this will help a lot of men in particular, I think, talk about hard things. So thank you.
You're more than welcome. All right. So that is our show for today, everyone. We will be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Until then, please be safe. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we will see you all later. Adios, everyone.